Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading A Message Appeared on Every Screen in the World, Hide, by World Away Tweety. I hope you enjoy this story, and a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. Let's get started. I stared with confusion at my phone. The rest of the gang were all in on this Monopoly game. I swear to God, if you get free parking, I will literally kill your stupid face, said Evelyn. Ravi rolled the dice in his hands. Come on, sweet baby Jesus, I just need a four. He dropped them onto the board. Damn it, he said, promptly biffing it like always. I tried to make sense of it. Just a word on my screen. Black text on an all-white background. A rather classical-looking font. Hide. I tapped, rather impatiently, on the expensive black rectangle. The text wouldn't disappear. AJ, Evelyn called, like a teacher busting a student. You're addicted. Play board games like a normal human adult. Yeah, sorry. A few more desperate finger pecks at the screen, then I turned to holding the power button down for an extended period. With my free hand, I grabbed the dice, rolled a three, landed on B&O Railroad. After 2 seconds of thought, nah, screw railroads, I said. Of course, we weren't animals. If someone didn't want to buy a property, that was fine. No auctions or any of that nonsense. House rules. Back to the phone as Hero, on my left, took the cubes and prepared to drag his sorry little shoe across Go to collect his $200. A minute with the power button didn't do anything. We were entering factory reset territory. I contemplated borrowing Ravi's laptop to Google whatever the hell this might have been. I felt the apartment rumble, albeit just for a split second, as if we were on the edge of an earthquake. I tensed briefly. The background noise from the TV, No One Wants This, auto-playing on Netflix, disappeared following the faint sound of the flicker of static. Ravi was the first to get up. I don't, he said, talking slowly as if not to jinx it. I don't think that was an earthquake. He examined the TV, confused at the outrage. He checked the wires. Shouldn't be the breaker. I don't have that much stuff plugged in, do I? I grappled with the sad, likely hacked state of my phone and that weird word staring me down. Damn, that's friggin' weird, I heard Hero say, half laughing. Head lifted. What? I asked to catch Hero turning his phone to me. His home screen, too, had been replaced by black text atop white. Hide. Evelyn, as anti-technology as it comes, had properly clocked this reprieve as her time to quickly respond to long, outstanding texts. The hell? She said. What is this? At my confused look, bordering on scowl, resting scowl face, she flipped her phone around to show me the damage. It was the same on hers. I grew a bit nervous. Ravi, where's your phone? I asked him. I'm sure it's somewhere, he said, still tinkering with the TV. Likely not due to any of his troubleshooting, it flashed back to life. Red power light at the base, blinking steadily. A simple message now appeared on the big screen. Hide? Ravi asked, grabbing the remote and pressing the buttons to switch back to Netflix, but nothing was registering. Dude, I said. He turned around. I showed him my phone. Hero and Evelyn showed theirs. That's... He looked back at the TV, then at us again. Wait, how is that possible? Is this like an Amber Alert? Hero asked. I guess, but that's a push notification, and this is like completely... overtaking the screen. Ravi's brows furrowed. On different hardware, too. A hack? I asked. He shrugged. That's kind of a weird hack, no? Government experiment? Hero again. A thought came over me. I walked to the balcony, slid the door open, stepped out onto it. Eye of Sauron, the city from Ravi's 14th floor apartment. In the neighboring apartment towers, most of the units had blinds down, curtains closed. The few unshuttered, however, I felt like that guy from Rear Window, contained strangers staring perplexed at their phones, at their computers, the sides of bolted-to-the-wall TVs, barely visible to me, displayed the same white background with text atop it. What I was seeing, everyone else was seeing. The others joined me on the balcony. "Whatever it is, it's at least hit this block," I said. I looked down at the city streets. Most of the people below caught in a similar holding pattern of standing frozen, heads fixed to their devices. "I guess we don't have anything to call the cops with." Hero. "I'm sure they're aware." Me. "Maybe wait it out until they fix it?" Ravi. I nodded, and yet, I could tell Evelyn was a bit perturbed, forcing magnetic thoughts to imbue her silence with weight. "Thoughts?" I asked her.
"I mean, should we do it?" she asked.
"Do what?" Ravi.
"Hide." Her again.
"Hide where?"
Ravi again.
"I don't know," she said. "I mean, we're already in my apartment. I'm sure that's good, right?" he said. A pause.
"Let's not lose our heads,"
Ravi continued.
"This is nuts, but it's not. I mean, it's not like literally hide, right?"
Hero clicked his fingers.
"What if it's viral marketing, like for a movie?"
Hero, with the necessary but unintentional levity. "Hacking our phones so we can't use them? I don't know if that's in Lionsgate's purview, man," I said. Then head turned to Evelyn.
"But hide?"
The flicker in her eyes more than meant that she'd sided with the light bulb in her head. She returned to the inside and got to exploring Ravi's apartment carefully.
"What are you doing?" Ravi asked, trailing. Hero and I followed. "I don't care if I look stupid. It could be a warning. Maybe something is happening," she said.
"We're in a box, basically," said Ravi.
"We're fine, Ev."
"But the damn thing," she motioned to the TV, then to her own phone.
"Says hide. Maybe it's that literal,"
she continued scouting, finally settling on the sliding closet in Ravi's room, the best she could come up with in his 600-square-foot quarters.
"I'll do here unless you think there's better."
"Evelyn," Ravi stressed. She shuffled in past hung garments, scooching to the end to make space.
"I'm going to close the door soon, and if you're all really my friends, you'll join me."
Awkward silence until Hero chimed first.
"I mean, I guess it's good to be safe, right?"
He went for it, second-guessed for a second, then committed to entering.
"You guys get the luxury of laughing at me forever if I'm dumb. Win-win,"
she called while Hero wedged in beside her. A compelling argument, certainly. Begrudgingly, I followed, tucking in next under Ravi's dress clothes. There was still room for him inside his own closet.
"Ah, hell,"
he caved, joining last, sliding the door closed to introduce darkness. I went back to my phone, still that classical font, still that mandate.
"How long do we have to stay in here?" Ravi asked.
5 minutes, she said.
"Yeesh,"
he tagged. And then we sat in stillness for a while. Distant tick, tick, ticks of the clock in the living room bringing down the blood pressure a tad. It all felt silly, kind of fun.
"Remember when we went camping at Sunlight Groves?"
Hero asked.
"Glamping?"
Ravi clarified.
"Ev thought she saw a bear,"
Hero laughed.
"A bear and its cub. It was dark. It looked like bears," she said, half laughing herself. "I heard noises, too."
"Bears at Sunlight Groves," he said again.
"Saddest patch of trees in America."
"Guys, shut up. We're here, so let's commit to the bit, before the conjuring doll gets us," said Ravi, surprisingly not bitterly. We kept our trap zipped for another minute. Eyes at my phone again. Hide. Nonsensical, all of it really, but in a way that was starting to sit more and more uncomfortably for me.
"What do you think it is?"
Hero whispered. I shook my head, Evelyn with the light shrug, Ravi with a deep inhale before speaking.
"I mean, obviously sophisticated," he said, voice low. "Like, it's... yeah, it's obviously something."
I waved my phone. "My bank is on this, and it's bricked now, basically. I'm screwed."
"Then we'll figure something out," said Ravi.
Powerful knocks at his apartment door all of a sudden, thundering.
"Hey,"
a voice called, muffled through the walls.
"Ravi, you there?"
Evelyn braced.
"Who is that?"
"A skinwalker, obviously," replied Ravi.
"Kidding.
My neighbor Monica. Evelyn reached across me and Hiro to tug at Ravi's sleeve.
Are you positive?
Yes, and I should probably get it.
You said 5 minutes, she said. Yeah, but I'm being a pretty trash neighbor right now, he replied.
The knocking persisted, and so did the words.
I have this weird thing on my phone. Brad has it too. It says hide. TV, same thing. Computer, same thing. I don't know how to reach anyone or what to do.
The neighbor trailed on. Ravi blew air out of his nose. All right, this is stupid. I'm gonna...
No,
said Evelyn. But then all of a sudden, he stopped. We all stopped. I felt something. Something very, very real. No knocking anymore, or at least I couldn't hear anything. Not the tick of the clock, nor the soft rustle of us against clothing. It was like the world was holding its breath. Like there was a presence right outside the closet. Then the sting of static in my ear before it passed. Whatever it was, the feeling dissipated. The sound returned and I sneaked a glance at my phone. The word hide was gone and replacing it was my home screen. The silence between the four of us was uncomfortable.
Did you feel that?
Evelyn finally whispered. No one said anything. Ravi outstretched his arm yet again to slide open the door, but his hands were shaking.
You can do it, I whispered. I think we're good.
He steeled himself, looking very much like he was crossing some sort of internal threshold. He pulled the door aside, revealing his room exactly as we'd left it. We took it in. I'm going to answer Monica, he said, with not a whole lot of vigor to his voice, getting up and creeping out of the room. The rest of us followed, stopping in the living room while he continued to the door. I went to Twitter, searched hide and sorted by new. Evelyn, meanwhile, grabbed the remote from the stand and turned the TV. Now, hideless, on, and maneuvered through the Roku channels.
What are you looking for? Hiro asked.
Just like a live channel, I guess, she replied.
The news?
My scrolling wasn't yielding anything of help or insight, though it was clear, via the confused posts from seemingly around the whole world, that the scope of whatever happened was global. My focus shifted to Ravi. He was standing on the welcome mat, eye pressed against the door's peephole. He hadn't moved in quite some time. Everything all right, man? I asked. He didn't reply, just stood there, frozen. I approached slowly.
She's...
I heard him croak. I reached him, patting him on the shoulders and urging him to detach from the door viewer. He finally did, leaning against the wall at first, before slowly sliding to a seat on the floor. I peered into the hallway through the hole. Outside, his neighbor, the one knocking, looked like she'd been skewered, decimated, an explosion of blood in the hallway.
What?
I felt a buzz on my phone. I pulled it out. Again. Before I could even press, I heard Ravi and Evelyn react.
There's another one! It says again now!
I turned to see the foreboding word on the TV. Hell.
So, we should hide again?
Hiro called. Much like Ravi, I was shell-shocked.
AJ, what do you think we should do?
He repeated. Evelyn, I said, trying to force the words out of my mouth.
You had good instincts the first time. What do you think? How much time do you think we have?
She asked. How much time passed between when I first saw the word hide and when we felt that presence in the closet?
It might have been 10 minutes,
I heard Ravi mutter, almost lifeless.
Then
Evelyn interrupted herself.
Wait, what did you just see outside?
She started approaching the door. I stopped her.
I don't think it'll be good for you to see it. Are you serious?
She responded.
Yes,
I said, immediately realizing that lying might have been smarter.
We can't assume we have that same amount of time,
Ravi added. I went with my pitch.
Do we try the same spot?
Hiro started pacing, thinking, tapping his foot.
If we think about it, it said hide and we hid. Now it's saying again, and obviously that means that whatever happened is gonna happen again.
He gave us a look as if he could see in our drained expressions what was waiting on the other side of the door.
That's a great recap, man, I said. Wait, I mean,
he said, struggling.
Is that When you'd play as a kid, if you kept picking the same spot over and over, eventually it'd catch up to you.
Are we really trying to apply some sort of logic to this? Ravi mumbled. Evelyn fortified herself.
I think he's right. It's nuts, and I can't believe I'm saying this. But if we need to operate on gut, and gut tells me we pick better spots this time.
But spots make it sound like we should split up, I said, looking around, slowly realizing that the limited real estate we had to work with meant this suggestion made more sense than I would have liked. I turned to Ravi.
Where should we all go?
He shook his head, palmed his forehead a few times as if to slap himself back to reality.
We do, he started thinking.
To under my bed, he grimaced, letting neurons collide in his mind. One of us in the utility closet, the other laundry closet. He got up and pointed. One of the closest closets was right behind me. Life in him again. Now! My eyes flitted to Hero and Evelyn, who ran into the bedroom. Ravi gave me a nod before entering the laundry closet and awkwardly squeezing in with the washer and dryer, closing his door. I entered the utility closet and closed mine. Rather, I tried to. The door wasn't clicking shut.
Hell,
I said.
Ravi, the door, it's not!
But then I fought the urge to say anything more. If time was up, I'd compromise my spot. Hell, compromise his spot too if I kept talking. I tried a few more times to get it to close, then I committed, terrified out of my mind, to gripping the handle and holding the door shut. I tried to keep my shaking hand and quickening breath in check as the silence overtook again. Complete silence, and then that presence. I felt a light tug at the door. I kept my hold firm, but didn't try to overpower. Didn't want to completely give it away. And again, it stopped. The feeling disappeared, and I waited 15 seconds before sneaking a look at my phone to see that the again warning was gone. I heard the sound of Ravi's door swing open first. I followed with mine. He was emotional.
I forgot that door screwed. I got scared, man, and I was...
You're all good. It's all right, man. I know.
I even heard you call for me, and I didn't... I panicked. I thought it...
We're alive, man. Hey, it's all right. We're... And immediately I remembered it wasn't just us. Evelyn and Hero.
Right,
he said. We rushed to his bedroom. Nothing at first. The two hadn't emerged yet. For a moment, the horrifying thought we'd been pulling their corpses out from under the bed rushed past me.
Guys,
I said.
Coast is clear. Quick.
Silence. For quite some time, before they finally shuffled out in one piece alive. As they shifted from a crawl to bend to standing, I wanted to hold them. Hold everyone, for just a second. I felt a newfound appreciation for life and their faces and personalities. Another buzz on my phone. I took a look. Break time. I let out a sigh of relief and showed the message to the others.
I guess that's good, Evelyn said. A second to catch our breaths after this damn craziness?
But then what? Ravi asked. Is this just going to continue? We walked into the living room together nervously.
We haven't even gotten a single second to wrap our heads around this, Evelyn said.
Something in me didn't seem right. I didn't feel good.
Hey, Ev, how'd you know that we should have stayed in the closet for 5 minutes?
Hero asked, somewhat pointedly. I clocked minor annoyance in her face at the question.
I don't know anything. It was a guess. But I mean, yeah, you guys were damn lucky I was here and pushed for it. Because hell, you were all being stubborn.
Hero wore a strange expression as he looked at her.
All right. Sounds like you want me to say something more, she said. Why would I? What makes you think I'd...
Ravi interrupted Hero by stepping between the two of them.
Holy hell, keep your heads on, people.
But as he said it, and maybe it was just an aberration in my mind, but I couldn't help but feel something significant stir within me, something really inflame, as if even though his face was straight, he was concealing some sort of inner smile at what was happening. Hero, I think you're focusing your skepticism in the wrong direction, I said. Ravi's expression turned irritated, which all but confirmed it for me. I don't know if you want to be mad at the person that saved us the first time, I said, trying to make a point by motioning to Evelyn. But as I looked at her, something felt wrong there too. I contained it. Or rather, the person who wanted to open the closet door. And then something even more obvious hit me.
Wait, Ravi, you tried to kill me.
and all of a sudden I was glaring at him, my temper rising by metric tons every second, as if it was all starting to make sense. Evelyn and Hero joined me. Ravi looked incredulous. "Alri admitted that I screwed up at the door. I confess to you. Why are you trying to make things worse? I was trying to calm them down." Then, noticing us approach him, he backed towards the kitchen cabinets. He pointed at me. "You were on your phone when this first happened," he said, as if he were having his own revelation. "You were waiting for it to start." "That's an insane misdirect," I said, positive that I couldn't trust him. But as my eyes turned to Evelyn and Hero, I realized I couldn't trust them either. Couldn't trust anyone. Still, Ravi absolutely needed to be the first to go, the first to be disposed of. He grabbed a knife from the cupboard and held it out at us. And only the smallest thought in the back of my mind was telling me that we were being toyed with, that it was so incredibly obvious that whatever this was, it had a handle on us. But unfortunately, that understanding was academic for me at best, as I kept finding string after string of thoughts and emotions connecting everything adding up. The logic sound, my emotions inflamed. "Break time," Evelyn said. "It's breaking us." Of course she would know that, though, if she were in on it. We all looked at her. I watched for sudden movements from any of these traitors. These bastards, even a millimeter shift, wouldn't get past me. "It's overriding us. It's flooding us with anger that isn't ours. And real as it feels," she faced her phone at us, beckoning us to read it clearly. "Break time. We can't fall to it." And that small, grounded part of me took over. Even though I was sure with everything in my soul that she, Ravi, and Hero were the source of everything that was happening. Ravi's grip on the knife tightened as he and the rest of us remained in the bizarre equilibrium of our four-way standoff. "It's all of you," I thought to myself, before I felt a lightness overtake me, like an insatiable hunger fading or extreme fear dissipating when you realize that noise in the other room wasn't a person, but rather something knocking over. My feelings of unrest and paranoia were gone. My phone screen, once again, returned to its default background. It was hard to describe how I felt now. Lucidity, shame. I looked at Ravi sadly. His head hung low as he put the knife back in its place. Hero turned to Evelyn first. "I'm sorry," he said. Then to Ravi. "Sorry." "Sorry, guys." Ravi. "I'm sorry." Me. "You're welcome, idiots." Evelyn. "We deserve that." That was insane," Ravi said. "Like a screwed up roller coaster ride," said Evelyn. "I didn't. That wasn't totally me," Hero said. "Like something was in me and it was..." "Hey, it's okay, man." I was getting tired of saying it, and certainly I, out of everyone, didn't deserve to impart forgiveness anyway, after where my own head was at only 30 seconds ago. "We need to, like, write something down, like we are susceptible, don't forget," started Ravi. "We just need to remember to keep your heads on," I interrupted. "Remember." But I think the fear that again would pop up on our phones drove him to start rummaging for some paper, start scribbling some words on it, while the rest of us tried to soak in the reprieve of nothing happening. Every half second, a luxury. I wanted to say sorry. Another 20 or so times, something I was sure wasn't a feeling unique to me. "I feel like I'm losing myself," I said. It felt like I was in a dream at this point. "Yeah," said Ravi. "Yeah. We're," Hero said, looking at us carefully, "probably all gonna die. Should we, like, say our words, I guess?"
Don't talk like that," said Evelyn.
"How many people do you think are dead?" Hero asked. I went to the TV, temporarily free yet again from one or two word mandates. Turned it on, toggled through the homepage until I found the live stream of a soccer game. One fixed camera angle. Everyone in the stadium, torn apart. Players on the field within frame, eviscerated. I returned to the homepage, navigating in an attempt to find a different live program. I clicked on what appeared to be a news channel I hadn't heard of before. The sight of an empty desk appeared. Wires leading under the desk made me think that perhaps the anchor was hiding under it. "We are trying to report," he said. "Knowing that the signal is going to cut out, I have survived so far, survived whatever exactly this might be, but the carnage from footage I've seen is extensive. I strongly recommend... The broadcast was interrupted by the new word, seek, again in classical lettering, and the screen cracked, then shattered with a loud pop, sending bits of glass onto the floor, as did the screen on my phone that I placed on the coffee table, as did the phones in Evelyn and Hiro's hands too. Reactively dropped on the floor by the pair, a weak bounce before settling, I panicked. Seek, seek, I said desperately, trying to jolt my brain to the task. Maybe something out of place? Evelyn said. What if we have to find what's killing everyone? Said Hiro. I started, but I couldn't even muster up words close to a sentence. I ran to the balcony outside to see if there was something obvious to look for. In the sky, in the city. What I spotted on the neighboring high-rises was blood-stained curtains, unrecognizable bodies where blinds were lifted, and, as my eyes darted from spot to spot, a lead. A small TV in one of the apartments. The screen looked unbroken. A word on it I couldn't make out. 5 letters was the best I could do. It's the screens, I said. We need to find a screen that still works. I ran back into the living room. Does anyone have binoculars? They all looked at me. Why the hell would anyone have binoculars? Ravi asked. There's a screen. I think in one of the other apartments, it's working. There's a word, but I can't see it. We need to find another one. I don't know. I ran into Ravi's office. Computer screen broken. Ah, hell. Grabbed his laptop. Shattered. Nope. I nervously tapped my chest with the fingertips of both my hands, while the rest desperately searched for something viable too. Did I have to run to the other apartment? Would there even be enough time? How would I even get in? And then, like a bolt of the blue, it hit me. Ravi, where's your phone? His voice was a little confused. I don't know, man, I lose it all the time. Find it. You really think that's it? We're looking for a functional screen. It's the only one we haven't rolled out yet. I turned to Hiro next. Check out the other apartments on the floor. See if any of the doors are unlocked. If they are, go inside. Check everything. Phones. Laptops, TVs, doesn't matter. See if there's a message intact on any of them. On it, he said, rushing to the door, opening it, freaking out at the body in front of it, nearly tripping, then composing himself and rushing into the hallway as the door closed behind him. We tore apart Ravi's apartment next. Couch cushions. Where do you usually lose it? I asked. My head peeked under the bed, peeked into counters alongside Evelyn, desperately. I don't know, man, he answered. It's stupid, but sometimes I literally just chuck it across the room. Helpful. Supremely helpful. In the bathroom, I looked at the medicine cabinet. Then back into his room, to his closet, checking the pockets of all his pants. I started to feel the inevitable looming. This was the one that was going to kill us, wasn't it? Love you guys, I heard Evelyn say almost under her breath, like she could feel it too. No tangible ticker counting down. But a feeling in my chest, a train closing in with us tied to the tracks. Ravi running to the TV stand, looking behind, then under books, under shelves. And I was back in the living room again. Sure, there was nothing left. My eyes lowering to the painful game we'd started our deadly evening with. Monopoly. Specifically to the messy pile of 50s, 20s, and 10s on Ravi's side of the board. I knew his etiquette for swapping some of them out for hundreds was quite poor. The cash stacked high, which made sense. He was crushing all game, and yet. I crouched, and did an even more aggressive sweep on the spot that we'd started our desperate search at, to discover his preserved Samsung Galaxy A35 underneath the fake money, with a new word to greet me. Smile. And it really did feel like time was up this time. I found it, you have to smile! I screamed like a damn auctioneer. Evelyn turned first from her spot in the kitchen. What? I ripped the phone from the ground and held up the message to her. Smile! She mirrored my uncomfortable expression. All teeth, feigned happiness, as did Ravi, as he bolted out of the room before even seeing the message on the phone or my intense eyes. Hiro threw open the door. Couldn't find anything, I'm sorry, he screamed. He saw our wide smiling faces and our eyes screaming at him to get the hint as I tried to mouth the word while keeping my pose, but instead it sounded like smuh. And yet, despite the confusing sight, With the luckiest stroke of luck in the world, he copied and showed me those pearly whites. I retained my beaming smile, feeling a tear of fear travel down my cheek. My eyes glued to Robbie's phone in my hand, hoping and praying that we wouldn't all get torn apart. And the word disappeared. I showed the group the proof, and one by one our cheery expressions dropped to our default nervous frowns, resting scowl face restored. A collective exhale. "I can't do this," said Ravi.
"I know,"
Evelyn added. And unlike some of the gaps we'd been afforded in the past, I already spotted a new message on the single remaining functional phone left in my right hand. Point to sacrifice. I could feel the group's eyes on me. I couldn't hide the misery.
"What?"
Ravi asked. "Point to sacrifice," I said, barely legible.
"AJ,"
Evelyn asked. I tilted the phone so they could read it. I couldn't say the words any louder. My body wouldn't let me. Underneath the words, a timer had been running, one that was already down to a minute 45, a minute 44, a minute 43, by the time I flashed them the phone. And yet still, all of us needed more seconds to let it settle. I felt defeated, truly this time. "All right," said Ravi, cutting through the holding pattern. "So what? We talk it through with the time we have left? Maybe we all agree on someone to point at? I mean, hey, hell knows what I have to live for." Hero next.
My family. Mom, dad, siblings. I wasn't even thinking of them this whole time. They're all promptly dead.
Yeah, I interrupted his words, hitting me immediately and curbing any remaining social etiquette I had left. Everyone I had ever known was likely gone.
Wow.
Evelyn smiled at us softly.
"I just have you guys now," she said. "So, yeah.
To hell with this," she said, immediately pointing to herself, almost causing me to die right there in fear she'd be torn apart immediately. But the counter was still ticking down.
"I flipped the board on this crap," she said without wavering.
A minute 12, a minute 11, a minute 10. Hero pointed to himself.
"Screw it. Yeah, you know what? I flipped the board too," he said.
I looked at him, almost nervously exasperated.
"Really? After all that, guys?"
A minute 7, a minute 6, a minute 5. "If there is a hell," Ravi said. "Unlikely, but what the hell? Maybe we dodged that bullet." He curled his index finger back towards himself. "Flip the damn board." I just looked at them. It was strange to feel a deluge of selfish thoughts flooding into me all at once. 40 seconds. 39 seconds. 38 seconds. "All right," I said, copying my peers. "Let's do it." I pointed at myself too, like we were all playing Simon Says or something. 33 seconds. 32 seconds. 31. I took an appreciative look at my old friends, the longest standing friends I'd ever had in my stupid life. And then, at the Monopoly board we were playing on. It really was quite an awful game. I wasn't sure why we'd always subject ourselves to it. 27. 26. I saw the pile of money on free parking. 23. 22. The only way to make it fun was to play with bullcrap rules. House rules. 20. 19. "Wait," I said.
"Follow me."
I sprinted to the door. I opened it, held it open for the rest. 15. 14. 13. I pointed at Ravi's dead neighbor in the hallway in front of the door, Monica.
"We didn't know what we were dealing with until she died. Her sacrifice gave us a chance," I said, almost looking up as if I were speaking to whoever was enacting this terror on us.
I was aware it was a reach. 9. 8.
"And we've probably lost a lot of humanity since then, so sorry," I said, pointing at her. "And thank you."
6. 5. And my best friends pointed too. A real morbid way to close things out, with a clash of sorry and thank you, escaping them as what would likely be their last words. I had really interrupted what was quite a nice moment inside for this strangeness. 2-1-0. "House rules," I said. And then I prepared myself for it. Pain. Then annihilation. but nothing came. Instead, Robbie's phone in my hand just read, "Good game." Before defaulting to Robbie's homepage picture, a Borzoi, he didn't even own one, he was just obsessed with that breed of dog, we stood there for 10 minutes, it felt, before we finally ventured inside, single file, like a group of polite zombies. I was unsure what to make of what had happened, what to do, who to check on, the state of the world, what was going on around me. I sat back down at the Monopoly board. The others, in an almost Manchurian candidate sort of way, took their spots too. "I think it was my turn," I said slowly. I grabbed the dice. I rolled. It was a 10. I tapped my hat icon on each square until I landed on Short Line Railroad. "Do you want to buy it?" Evelyn asked me. I thought about it for far too long. Finally, sure. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. What a wild ride that one was, right? If you like this story, go and check out World Away Tweety on Reddit and let him know you loved his story. And like the video while you're at it, because YouTube's algorithm, man, I tell you. And if you're on the podcast or Spotify or whatever, I mean, following, subscribing, whatever you can, I appreciate the support. It really helps me keep this thing going. And if you'd like to support this channel even more, well, you can go to Patreon, where there's early access when I get this stuff out. You know, I appreciate all of you who are patrons, though. And there's pictures of Gary, my cat, on there. And there's pictures of Gary the cat in Discord, too, if you want to come and see those and chat with some people. So I appreciate you for being here. Thank you for choosing this story to listen to. Take care now. Bye-bye then.